This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for another broadcast of the Pastor's Study. Today we're going to begin a new study on great doctrines of the Bible. Great doctrines of the Bible. But before we begin, again, I'd like to let our listeners know that each and every study on the Pastor's Study is available on audio cassette tape. If you'll just drop me a line requesting the name of the study at the address that will be given to you at the end of the broadcast. Also, I have available a audio cassette tape catalog of all the studies that have been aired over the Pastor's Study for the past 6 years, and that's absolutely free. Again, if you'll just write in requesting the catalog, I'll send it right out to you. Before we begin today's study, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity to open up thy word. We thank you that you preserved your inspired, your inerrant, infallible words in this good old King James Bible. Father, I pray that your words would bless the listener today. Minister to us individually in whatever way we need to be ministered to. Lord, and because you're a great God, we pray for visible results today, and we'll remember to give you all the honor and glory for whatever you'll choose to do this day, and it's in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. As a way of an introduction, I want to talk a little bit about doctrine. Today, in many churches, one can hear the cry regarding doctrine, and that cry is, doctrine divides. The attitude behind this cry is based upon the premise that all that matters is love. In other words, doctrine is not important. After all, doesn't the scriptures tell us that God is love? In fact, Jesus told us, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another." This premise would be true if a few verses from Scripture were wrestled, isolated by themselves, and the rest of the Word of God totally ignored. However, to know the mind of God on a particular biblical issue, His full written revelation, the Holy Bible, must be consulted and rightly divided. I want us to ascertain the mind of God on the topic of doctrine and then proceed to discuss the importance of sound doctrine. As our beginning point, I turn to not the Hebrew or the Greek, but I turn to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary to define the words sound doctrine. First, the noun doctrine is defined in a general science, whatever is taught. Hence, a principle or position in any science, whatever is laid down as true by an instructor or master. The doctrines of the gospel are the principles or truth taught by Christ and his apostles. And then we look at the word, the adjective sound is defined as right, correct, well-founded, free from error. Therefore, sound doctrine could simply be defined as correct teaching. Now that we've defined sound doctrine, where does one begin in scriptures to discover the mind of God on this topic? How much importance and emphasis does God place on sound doctrine? To begin with, we must be obedient to God's command and rightly divide His word of truth. Look with me in 2 Timothy, if you would, and notice the command. It's given to every believer, not just to preachers and teachers of the word of God, but to every believer. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 15. You and I are commanded to study, to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In fact, the King James Bible is the only English translation where you have that command to study, because all these other modern, so-called modern Bibles, English version Bibles, are of the devil, because obviously the devil doesn't want the Christian to study God's word. Amen. Within the canon of scriptures, there exist 66 individual books from Genesis to Revelation. However, before we begin our study, we must ask ourselves the question, in relation to the scriptures, what period of time or age are we currently in? The answer, according to rightly dividing the word of God, would be the church age or the age of grace. In other words, we're in the age where God is calling out a bride for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a bride consisting of both Jews and Gentiles in one body called the church or the body of Christ, an age where God's most predominant attribute being displayed is grace. An age where men and women, from the day of Pentecost until the rapture, are saved by grace through faith in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Once we have determined what age we are currently in, then the next logical step would be in relation to the scriptures. Where would I look to ascertain the mind of God on the issue of doctrine? As a child of God during the church age, I would want to focus my search in the scriptures that were written by the apostle to the Gentiles. And this apostle is identified in Romans 15, verse 16, and Galatians chapter 2, verses 7 to 8, as Paul, the former Saul of Tarsus and persecutor of the church. Let's first turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 together, verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. You see that? Romans 15, 16. Paul says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. So we see there in Romans, Paul tells us that he is the apostle called out to the Gentiles to minister to the Gentiles, amen, to minister the gospel of God. Now, Galatians chapter 2 with me. Galatians chapter 2. And in Galatians chapter 2, we want to look at verses 7 and 8 together. Galatians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But, contrawise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, okay, this is Paul speaking, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. Again, the uncircumcision is a reference to the Gentiles. Paul is saying, just as Peter was the apostle called out to the circumcised or the Jew, I, Paul, have been called out by God as the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, according to Ephesians chapter 3, 1 through 7, the Lord revealed directly to Paul the mystery of the church. Now, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you would, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Here's the mystery he's talking about. He's saying, Paul is saying that it was revealed to him by revelation, amen, directly to him by God, and it wasn't known or understood by others in other ages, in the Old Testament. And then he tells us what the mystery is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Now, again, the mystery of the church, of the body of Christ, revealed to Paul was that the church consisted of Jew and Gentile in one body, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We defined earlier sound doctrine as correct teaching. Therefore, as a preacher and teacher of the Word of God, I would in particular want to examine and study the epistles of the Apostle Paul, written specifically and addressed to preachers and teachers of the Word of God. The epistles Paul wrote to preachers and teachers are the pastoral epistles, which consist of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. So it is to these epistles that we turn our attention to undercover the mind of God on the topic of doctrine. Now, the word doctrine appears 16 times in the pastoral epistles, which tells us that doctrine is very important to God, and especially in connection with the man of God teaching and preaching the Word of God. The two epistles of Timothy and the epistle of Titus are very specific and provide in great detail how the man of God is to preach and teach doctrine to his flock. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Timothy is instructed to charge those in Ephesus to teach no other doctrine than they had learned from Paul. 1 Timothy, with me, chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Timothy 1, 3. As I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Paul tells Timothy that the purpose of sound doctrine is to be able to detect and expose those who are living contrary to the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, we are told that the characteristic of a good minister of Jesus Christ is to be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Paul instructs Timothy in the same chapter in verse 13, until he comes, one of the things that Timothy is to give attendance to is doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Paul closes chapter 4 of 1 Timothy by telling Timothy, if he wants to save himself and his flock from falling into sin, that he must take heed unto himself and unto doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17 informs us that the preacher who labors in the word and doctrine is due double honor. So, the man of God is to labor, work hard to discover the mind of God on the various Bible doctrines. The Bible clearly states that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, that if any man teach otherwise to the words of Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, then that individual is proud, knowing nothing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. When someone teaches contrary to the doctrines found in the Bible, then in essence, that person is saying, I am right and God is wrong. The sin of pride will eventually destroy an individual, as evident by the fall of Satan. The Apostle Paul continues his emphasis on doctrine in his second epistle to Timothy. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. You see, Timothy would be very familiar with the teachings of Paul because Timothy had been with the Apostle Paul on many a missionary adventure and many an evangelistic tour. Paul is making a contrast between his sound teaching with the aforementioned characteristics of the teachers of the last days, which he describes in verses 1 through 9 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Then, and one of the key verses on the inspiration of Scripture, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We want to notice that the first on the list of what God's breathed words are profitable for is doctrine. Today, many churches are in direct disobedience to the Word of God because everything but Bible doctrine is being taught within the confines of the church house. Number one, then, the Scriptures were inspired by God and given to man so doctrine could be preached and taught. So we could know the mind of God on such Bible topics as sin, salvation, judgment, heaven, hell, service, prayer, worship, and we could go on and on and on. But that's why God, number one, that God inspired His Word and gave it to man so that doctrine could be preached and taught. So we could know God's mind on such things as sin and salvation and judgment and heaven and hell and service and prayer and so forth and so on. Paul further instructs Timothy to use doctrine in his preaching to reprove, rebuke, and exhort his listeners. 2 Timothy chapter 4 with me, verse number 2. Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Very important. Preach the word. The word of God. Not somebody's out of somebody's commentaries or somebody's book someone else has written, but he's saying, preach the word of God, the words of God. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, and look at, and here's that word again, and doctrine. The last time the Apostle Paul uses the word doctrine in his instructions to the young preacher Timothy is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Paul warns Timothy, there is going to come a time when men will refuse to listen to sound doctrine or correct teaching. Men would rather listen to preaching that tickles their ears or satisfies their flesh. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 with me. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. An example of this would be listening to a steady diet of preaching and teaching on love without judgment or condemnation as a result of sin. In the last of the pastoral epistles, Titus, Paul instructs another young preacher named Titus. Paul instructs Titus in Titus chapter 1, verse 9, to use sound doctrine to correct and put down the gainsayers or those who oppose the truth. Titus chapter 1, verse 9 with me. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Amen. Titus chapter 2 deals with how different age groups and classes of people should conduct themselves. What is interesting is to notice how the Apostle Paul begins this chapter in verse 1 by telling Titus, to speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. What this shows us is that doctrine is not some abstract truths in the Bible, but a study in the Scriptures on any matter to show the believer what is true and what is not true. In this particular case, in Titus chapter 2, it is on right and wrong conduct. So, we have seen from our survey of the pastoral epistles, the importance God places on sound doctrine. As preachers and teachers of the Word of God, we must take this issue of sound doctrine seriously, because not only is it important to God, but also the precious souls of men are at stake. Sound doctrine is important because men and women by the millions are dying and going to hell because of false doctrine or incorrect teaching on Bible matters. Many of these folks were sincere and believed with all their heart what their religion had taught them to be the truth, only to find out, as they suffer torment in a literal burning flame for all of eternity, that what they believed was a lie. Some of these false doctrines that are damning men's souls to hell are as follows: that water baptism is necessary to be born again and experience spiritual regeneration. An individual must partake of the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ to possess eternal life. My friend, I want to say this. All religions except Bible Christianity teach the false doctrine that salvation is obtained by a person's good works. As a result, many people are counting on their good works to get them into heaven, only to find themselves, after they die, burning in the lake of fire. What I find interesting is for someone to know the mind of God concerning salvation, all they would have to do is turn to the Bible in Acts chapter 15, where the early church fathers, which included Peter, James, John, Paul, and Barnabas, met at Jerusalem to discuss the issue of salvation and establish sound doctrine concerning salvation. There had been dissension and false teaching among some of the Jews, in which it was declared that in order for the Gentiles to be saved, they had to submit to the circumcision of the Jews. Peter got up at this meeting and summarized and established sound doctrine concerning the issue of salvation when he said in Acts chapter 15, verse 11, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." Simply put, Peter concludes that Jew and Gentile alike are saved by grace through faith in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ with no works involved. As preachers and teachers of the Word of God, the next time someone gets up and says doctrine divides, reply, "Thus saith the Scriptures, it is supposed to divide, as Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." It is with this in mind that next time we are together, that we'll begin a series entitled Great Doctrines of the Bible. This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.